Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and I'm going to be bringing in my other half, Dr. Afivi, very shortly. But I just want to welcome all of you who are joining us today for another dynamic show. I know you're all going to have a treat with this one because this is an issue that a lot of us suffer from. So I want to make sure that you guys have your pens and your pads. Pens and your pads ready so you can write down all of the vital information. My sister, Dr. Afivi, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Peace to the family.
Greetings, greetings. Hope all is well with you. I know we're going to be having another dynamic show, of course, and today's topic is food for hormone balancing. And I know this was something that kind of been in my cycle for about a week or so because, of course, I'm a woman and around certain times of month, women normally experience some hormonal changes. So I know I'm going to be ready for this specific topic. But before we get in the meat of things, I want to go ahead and have you introduce yourself, and then I'll go ahead and after that we'll do the premise and go right into the topic.
Yep, no problem. So greetings, everyone. To the people who have been with the Dynasty family, I say greetings. And then I also say greetings and welcome to those new members of the Dynasty family. My name is Dr. Afivi Adiro. I'm a naturopathic physician, which means that I'm a primary care doctor, and I use holistic therapies like acupuncture, hydrotherapy, physical medicine, and my passion, which is using food, nutrition, and herbs for balancing the body and bringing it back into a state of healing. So that's why me and my sister bring this information to you each and every week, because we are both very passionate about that. So here we are. Here we are.
Here we are. And I am Kenya Jones. For those of you who are not familiar with me, I'm happy that you're joining us for today. And for those of you who are familiar with me, hey, how y'all doing? I am Kenya Jones, and I am a nutritionist and an herbalist, and I love using foods and different herbs to help heal the body. So that's something that I've been into for a long time. And I know today my sister's going to knock it out, as she always do. And I just want to just give the premise for those of you, especially those who have not been with us before. The premise for Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but also to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
Wow. So today's topic again, food for hormonal imbalancing. Because a lot of us experience the imbalances of hormones. And I do have a question for you, too, because a lot of brothers are under the impression that their
hormones are always balanced out. They always think that women are hormonal all the time or unbalanced. And I would love for you to touch on that during, you know, the show if you can.
Sure.
Because a lot of people are under the impression that it's only women are only affected by this.
Yes, that is a huge myth. Because guess what? Both men and women have hormones. If men didn't have hormones, they'd be dead. You wouldn't even be here, because if it wasn't for hormones, then we couldn't. Then a woman couldn't even conceive or, you know, create life.
I say.
So everyone is a product of and has within them hormones, or hormones being imbalanced. So you're here because your hormones weren't balanced enough for you to be here. So. But brothers, y'all, I mean, I've heard brothers, you know, make comments about, you know, women having our hormonal or what they call our hormonal maybe challenges at some certain times of the, you know, the month or whatever. But brothers have their own hormonal changes as well, and it makes their behavior different. It makes their emotions different, and it may not occur in the same cycles as women, but they do have them. And brothers also can suffer from, if their bodies are not in balance, they can also suffer from hormone issues as well. So this show is for everybody. It's not for women. It's not for just men. It's for all of us, because we all need to make sure our hormones are in balance. And I'm going to, as I go into the topic, you'll see why hormones are so important and why, you know, all of us should be conscious about making sure they are as balanced as possible. So that's what I would say to that. For sure.
You got, I'm the doctor, because you know a lot of people don't take everybody's word for it. They're like, we ain't listening to Kenya. But Phoebe, okay, she a doctor.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm happy you at least let them know. Because, you know, we are one. So you have hormones too. So everybody got their pens and pads ready to help with the balance. So I'm all set, sis. I'm just ready. And also, you know, I always ask you what inspires the question. I mean, not the question, but the actual topic of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what inspires you that you would speak about this? Because it's kind of been in my cipher for, I want to say, a week or so, talking about the imbalancing of, you know, so this is right up my alley.
Yeah, this one actually just kind of came to me. I just decided to do it because I've done shows to where I've touched on hormones, like if I talked about the reproductive system, if I talked about, you know, stress, you know, you always get into hormones. And all of these topics that I do are all interconnected because we're talking about the same body, right? So I've talked about hormones kind of here and there in other topics, but I haven't done a whole show just on overall hormone balancing. So I thought that it was good to start doing that. And just because we're still in the spring, we're still in a time of cleansing and hopefully people are still, if they haven't done any spring cleaning internally, they're getting ready to, or they've already done it. But hormones are just a huge topic as far as health is concerned, you know, for us to address, because so many health problems have hormonal imbalances at their root cause. So I just felt like it was that time. It was about that time to do a topic on this. So, just for everyone to know, just in case you didn't know, this is a live call-in show. So if you do want to ask a question, if you have a comment or anything that you would like to contribute to our conversation, you can call this number, which is 646-716-7572, and you can press the number 1 if you would like to talk to us. If not, then just sit back, relax, and enjoy the information as I go on my tangent about hormones. So if you don't mind, I'm going to get right into the topic, because like always, I have a whole bunch of things on my list. I'm going to go right into it.
Yeah, make sure you guys, if you know, you're listening in and you have any specific questions, if you hit that number 1, like I said, I'll see that you have a question, and as soon as we get a little break in between, I will pull you in so you can speak either with a comment or a question.
Yes, and you can, girl, you got to cut me off, because I know I can go. So if you got to cut me off, then go ahead and do it, because I will just go.
You're an opening. I do somebody, you know, somebody there, so you know I do.
I know. Yes, I do. Yes. But all right, we got it together. So I'm going to get right into it, you guys. Foods for hormonal balance. So basically, eating. So I want people to get from this is that eating certain foods that are just nutrient dense. And this is pretty much what we talk about in every show. Eating nutrient dense foods will put anyone on the path to health. So that's a given. So whether we like it or not, though, hormones are just this this underlying aspect of our body system that really control, or they're kind of like the communication center for our body. So, you know, hormones control everything. You know, they control our mood, our digestion, energy, libido. A lot of people know about hormones controlling metabolism, you know, because that, you know, affects how much you can lose weight or gain weight. And then, of course, and it also affects how our skin looks, how our hair grows, all these things. So hormones are everywhere when it comes to our bodily functions. Now, if we don't eat foods with these certain nutrients that are nutrient-dense and that are giving nutritional support to these hormonal functions that we need, our body cannot produce the hormones correctly, nor will the endocrine system, which is that system in our body that is composed of glands that secrete these hormones, that won't function at its most optimal state. And you won't also have the building blocks to even create the hormones to begin with. So whatever you're eating is either helping hormonal balance, helping with its production, or, on the other hand, it's causing unpredictable imbalances. Or actually, they are predictable. So let me rephrase that. They are predictable because if you're not eating foods that support the endocrine function, then you're not going to have a healthy endocrine system. So the human body needs a balance of these different macronutrients. So macronutrients, I like to call, you know, them like the main nutrients that our food can be grouped into. So carbohydrates, which include things like our grains, and which would be simple carbohydrates, and then our vegetables and plants, which would be complex carbohydrates. Then you have protein or proteinaceous foods like our nuts and seeds. Anything that contains amino acids can create protein, which is plants in general. And then fats, of course, or oils. Those are the three main groups of macronutrients that we're going to be concerned with when it comes to hormone balance. And we can group our food into these. But first, before we start getting into the actual food, I'd like to give us all a frame of reference. I'd like to get our minds right. We got to get our minds right as far as what hormones are and what roles they play in our bodies specifically. So hormones are, like I said, they're the body's chemical messengers. They're the communication system in the body. And they travel in your bloodstream to different tissues and different organs, and they allow these different parts of the body, from the top of your head to the tip of your, you know, pinky toe, they allow those areas or those organs and tissue systems in between to communicate with each other. Hormones work slowly over time, and then they can affect many different processes, including but not limited to growth and development. So think about pregnancy being controlled by hormones, a person growing from a child to an adult, all of that is controlled by hormones. Puberty, all of those things, hormones. Metabolism is also governed by hormones. So how your body gets energy from the foods that you eat is controlled by hormones. And, of course, whether or not you are hormonally balanced enough to have an efficient metabolism will determine how much, you know, that energy is not being converted, or how much of that food is not being converted into energy. So this leads to things like weight gain and obesity if the metabolism is underfunctioning, or there are some people that have trouble with gaining weight because their metabolism is overfunctioning and they're burning off all of their food so quickly that they can't gain any healthy weight. So all of that's controlled by hormones. Sexual function is controlled by hormones. Your libido, your ability to perform, you know, for, you know, women to become ready to enact or to engage in sexual intercourse, men to engage in sexual intercourse, potence, you know, all of that. Fertility, well, that's more like reproduction. But sexual function, as well as reproductive function, is all controlled by hormones. So women being able to conceive, women being able to ovulate, you know, to conceive, you know, a man being able to create sperm, spermatogenesis, being able to actually carry a baby to full term. All of that is controlled by hormones. Also, mood, our emotions, even stress, all of that is controlled by hormones. So hormones are just, you know, they are very important as far as our body functioning properly and doing everything that it needs to do to sustain life. Now, endocrine glands are those special groups of cells, they're made up of special groups of cells that create these organs that make and secrete hormones. And the major endocrine glands in our bodies include the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, thymus, the thyroid, the pancreas, and the adrenal glands. Those are some major endocrine glands that secrete different hormones that have different functions in our bodies. In addition, men produce hormones in their testicles or their testes. And then women also produce hormones from their ovaries that are, you know, related to their sex. So men, of course, are going to produce hormones in their testes that help with their fertility, and women are going to produce hormones in their ovaries that assist in their fertility. Hormones are produced they're produced in these glands using the fats that we consume and the cholesterol. So, you know, and they're also created using different nutrients and things that we take in. But the fats and the cholesterol are really important. I'm going to talk about that today a little bit later. But all of these things dietarily are important factors. And when they are not in adequate amounts in our bodies, it can cause hormone problems simply because the body doesn't have the building blocks to create proper hormone amounts for the endocrine glands to function. Also, toxins that contain chemicals that mimic the building blocks of these hormones, such as plastics, phthalates, different pesticides, herbicides, they can actually mimic the nutrients that we're supposed to be getting, or they can hinder nutrient absorption by the body, so then the endocrine system is not getting what it needs. And all of that is problematic because the body can attempt to create hormones, but it'll be using the wrong building blocks, or it'll be an abnormal creation, and then you'll just will have an overall ineffective a hormone synthesis. You won't have the right time that you need. But anyway, the endocrine system is complex, clearly. And it's a complex system that even today, a lot of the medical community doesn't understand everything that goes into it. But that's okay, because the body's perfect and the body knows what it needs to do, regardless of whether or not, you know, science, or I guess we can call it modern science, has been able to extract from it. It knows what it needs to do. And we should know that it's not knowing the kind of extracted information. Like, we don't have to know about every cell and every hormone and everything, you know. What we do need to understand is that we are what we eat. And when we eat in accordance with nature, when we eat that promote life and that we know is going to give the body what it needs to maintain life, then we don't have to worry about all the little scientific breakdowns. We just eat what we know is complementary to our bodies, and then we'll be well. So you don't have to be like an endocrinologist to heal yourself from endocrine problems or hormonal problems. So now let's talk about ways that you can create and balance hormones so through your diet anytime, any way that you want. So let's get into that. So the first thing I want to talk about is, you know, first we like, I like to talk about eliminating the obstacle to healing. We have to clear the path, you know. We got to get our ogun on, you know, get our machete and chop through the obstacles. What is in my way of healing? So usually what's in the way of people healing is things that they're eating, right? So if you're eating things that are getting in the way of your endocrine system properly balancing and producing the proper hormones, then pretty much anything that you do is going, like anything, that supplement herb that you take is not really going to work as well. So the first thing we're going to talk about is getting out of our diets the foods that hinder us from creating a balanced hormonal state. The first thing is avoiding white foods. I've talked about avoiding the white foods for a long time. So what this means is that you need to eliminate refined carbohydrates and starches. So things like white sugar, white rice, white bread. I would even put in any kind of white flours, even some legumes, like these white beans and things like that. Alcohol, any kind of white potatoes. All those things are these like refined white, or either they're refined if they're like a flour or a sugar or a rice and they're white, or it's just a very heavy starch that we shouldn't consume, even if it's, you know, a quote-unquote natural plant. Like potatoes, they're a little too starchy for us to be eating or consuming on a regular basis or at all. So eliminating those things from the diet is necessary when you're looking to create a diet that will help balance your hormones. This includes white flour, any kind of pastries, bagels, pasta that are made with these white flours and starches, any snack foods that are highly refined, processed foods, packaged foods. A lot of these are highly refined, and they're completely devoid of nutrients because of their production and the production process. I go further and suggest that you do a trial. You can do a trial. Like, if you don't do nothing else, do at least getting rid of the white sugar, the white flour, and the rice for a month and see what happens. When you reintroduce it, like let's say if you just have to have it again and you try to take some it back into your diet, just monitor your symptoms and see if any of your old symptoms start returning, if you start feeling funny, because a month is a good enough time for you to know that you have cleared, some things from your body that is causing you to not be able to heal yourself. Now, the reason that refined carbohydrates and starches are off limits for a hormone balancing protocol or a hormone balancing diet is because these things just wreak havoc on our endocrine system. They flood the body, or they flood the bloodstream with excess sugar, and that causes your insulin to spike, which then causes you to have excess fat storage, and nobody wants that, right? And when we carry excess fat automatically, you know, that can throw off your hormones, because excess fat, or what they call exogenous fat, it acts like extra estrogen in the body. And whether you're a man or a woman, extra estrogen can create problems, such as causing imbalances in the menstrual cycle for sisters. It can lead to, and it can contribute to infertility. It can affect potency in men. It can cause you to be impotent. It can also cause this phenomenon called gynecomastia. Gynecomastia is just a fancy name for man breast. Yes. If you have excess fat, and I know a lot of us have seen this either on ourselves or brothers, you know, in this case, you've either seen it on yourself or you've seen it on other people. It looks like a man has breasts. And it's not that he has actual functional breasts, of course, but it's because of these. If a man is so overweight, that excess fat actually behaves and can actually create excess estrogen. So he's making breast tissue. It's almost like he's making breast tissue. If you want to get rid of the man breast, then you have to get rid of the excess fat, and you get rid of the excess fat by cutting out the things in your diet, like these refined white foods, and you'll see that go away. Like, that will go away because your hormones become more in balance, and then you'll be able to shed the excess weight. So just keep that in mind. So, again, brothers have hormonal problems too. That is a hormonal imbalance. Also, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, which has a lot of sisters having troubles with their fertility, that is aggravated by these white foods. Acne, fibroids, hirsutism, which is male pattern hair growth in women, can also be aggravated it can be aggravated and it can be caused by having these white foods in the diet. Also, many other hormonal issues, you know, endometriosis, you name it. They can all be aggravated or caused by having these foods in the diet. What's more is that refined carbohydrates and starches are extremely inflammatory. And when there's abnormal inflammation in the body, this can also make our endocrine glands not function adequately, which, of course, leads to hormone imbalances as well. So opt for gluten-free flours, ancient grain flours like teff, spelt, kamut, buckwheat flours, amaranth flours, instead of those wheat flours and those other flours. Rye flour is great. And then, of course, you can find breads and cereals and bread, cereals, pasta, different things that are made from these ancient grain flours. And then as far as sweetening things, use natural sweeteners, things like dates, stevia, raw honey, if you're not a stickler about using honey, dry or fresh fruits and their juices. You have plenty of options as far as it goes for sweetening things. So definitely make those changes to help your balance, your hormones be more in balance. So let's talk about healthy fats, because I talked about how important fats are to hormone balancing. So with that, fat is one of the most crucial elements in hormone balance, and unfortunately for many years, people have been sold on, and people are still being sold on, that fat-free is better, and that's definitely not the case. Hopefully people are hip to that now, that fat, when you eat it, when you eat healthy fat, is very good for you. You know, on the other hand, cholesterol and saturated fats from like animal protein or animal flesh and dairy and things like that, those are bad fats, because you can only get cholesterol from animal fat. You can't get it from plants at all. That's why in the medical community they call high cholesterol the animal's revenge, because only way that people can get high cholesterol is if they're eating excess cholesterol, because you make your own cholesterol. You don't actually need to eat cholesterol in foods. So when you eat animals, any other living thing is going to have cholesterol in it, and that's going to contribute to excess cholesterol. No matter what, it don't matter how healthy you are, how unhealthy you are, if you're eating meat, you're getting cholesterol that you don't need, period. So that goes towards imbalancing of the hormones. Healthy fat, on the other hand, they're in the form of these these fatty acids. And these raw materials, basically, these are like those that we need in order to produce and maintain proper hormone function. So this is why hormones are produced using the fatty acids and the cholesterol in our endocrine system. And when we're missing this, hormone problems arise simply because the body doesn't have the nutrients it needs to make them. So our body, you know, our body then through our diet can take these things and produce, you know, for women, if you have a good amount of healthy fats in the diet, it'll help with ovulation. It'll help with balancing your menstrual cycle. With men, it can help with spermatogenesis, making sure that you're creating a good amount of sperm. This is especially important if a couple is looking to conceive. It can also help with the nervous system and the brain. It can help with creating neurotransmitters in the brain that help with mood, stress response. So if you're somebody who is, you know, prone to, like, depression, anxiety, you know, any kind of nervous type of syndrome, brain fog, poor concentration, anything. Think of anything that will affect the nervous system, poor memory, all of that. But we need fats in our diet in order to create the neurotransmitters, to create the serotonin, the dopamine, all those things that make the brain send out it sends out those feel-good hormones, those hormones that make our mood happy and lively and light, and it dispels depression and anxiety and all those other things. And it just helps us to cope with stress more, because stress is going to happen. But if you have the proper hormones that allow your body to deal with the stress better, then it will not have as much of an effect on your body, it won't have such a damaging effect on your body as it can. So I'm going to tell you a few of some healthy fat sources that you can add to your diet. Now, coconut oil is first on my list, because coconut oil is just wonderful. And then not just the oil, but coconut meat,
coconut, dry coconut, young Thai coconuts, the water, all the whole coconut is good. But because we're talking about fats, coconut being a very fatty fruit, you know, it's definitely in this in the group with the healthy fats. So of course, coconut oil contains lauric acid, which is incredibly healing to the skin and extremely beneficial for hormonal production. It also added benefits, of course, but it kills off any pathogenic bacteria, viruses in the body. It also provides a really quick source of energy because it has the medium chain triglycerides in it that make up the fat or the oil. And it's easy to digest, and it speeds up your metabolism because coconut oil actually has an affinity for the thyroid. So if you are suffering from thyroid issues, then coconut oil would be a great addition to the diet because it nourishes the thyroid so much. So it can help with that. Avocados are the next thing I have on my list. They're rich in healthy fat. I love avocados. I eat avocados almost every day. And that healthy fat in avocados helps your body to absorb and use nutrients. Avocados are also full of fiber, and we're going to talk about fiber in a little bit. They're full of potassium, magnesium, vitamin E, B vitamins, folic acid. All of these nutrients are essential for proper hormonal balance in the body, and especially making sure that you that the endocrine system is working as optimally as possible. Nuts and seeds, of course, are on this list. Making sure that you're soaking your nuts and seeds so that you are deactivating any enzyme inhibitors that can potentially make the absorption of the nutrients in them not as adequate. But nuts and seeds are awesome for adding healthy fats and oils into your diet. So olive oil, of course, olives, hemp seed oil, flaxseed oil, what else? Avocado oil, you name it. Any kind of healthy vegetable or fruit oil would be great. And then eating the whole nuts and seeds, of course, are very beneficial. Flax seeds are one of my favorite ways of getting essential fats into the diet because they have a very high omega-3 content. And omega-3 oils are those oils that we want more in our diet because we get so many omega-6 and other unhealthy oils in our diet that it throws off our fatty acid ratio to one that is more inflammatory. Omega-3, on the other hand, is anti-inflammatory. So when we eat foods like flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts that have more omega-3, then that helps the body become create a more anti-inflammatory environment in the body. And then, of course, the body prefers using omega-3s for all those for hormone production, such as the hormones that are needed for inflammatory responses to be more healthful. Because of that, for example, in a hormonal imbalance state, like women who are experiencing like endometriosis, very, very painful menstrual cramps, abdominal bleeding and things of that nature can help their condition by adding omega-3 rich foods to their diet because a lot of that has underlying inflammation. So when, especially if you're having the cramps, like I know for me, because I used to have really, 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 really bad menstrual cramps, and I used to have them like for multiple days of my cycle. Now I probably will only have cramps like on the first day. And that depends on what I eat. If I eat things that I don't need to eat, like say if I'm eating more sugar in my diet, and not that I eat any refined sugar at all, but even just eating more like natural sugars, like maybe I've had too much dry fruit, maybe I've had too much, dehydrated, foods and things, because it's better to have things fresh. You know, I can just tell, but I used to have really, really bad menstrual cramps like on multiple days of my cycle. But once I added the healthy fats, the flaxseed oil, eating more avocados, coconut oil, and all, I put coconut oil in everything now. But that really helped my cycle, along with, changing my diet and doing other things, herbs and things. But that's something that I can attest to in my own healing journey, that it really helps. And people don't think about, you know, adding more healthy fats, but that's very important for hormonal production. Hormones control the menstrual cycle. Hormones control the contraction of the uterus that is trying to get out that that shedded lining every month. So you get those harsh cramps because the hormones are out of balance. Then when you balance those hormones, then you can really greatly reduce the pain or sometimes eliminate it. So, and then, of course, you have to make sure your diet is good around that as well. So just, so, yes, I'm gushing about fat because I know that it's very helpful. And I love fat. I eat fat all the time. I am definitely not a low-fat sister. So, but, of course, make sure it's healthy fat and make sure it's in your food. Now, with that, I do want to say steer clear of the commercial oils. So when I say commercial oils, those oils that are kind of generic or highly refined that contain usually more omega-6 fats, those fats that I said that are inflammatory and that can add to inflammation in the body. And then, of course, they can lead to things like heart disease and hormonal imbalance. Examples of these refined commercial oils include those generic vegetable oils, peanut oil, canola oil, soybean oil, margarine, shortenings, Crisco, all of that stuff. Those are those hydrogenated trans fat oils, or they're just highly refined and they're just no longer good for you. They've been chemically altered, and they're no longer a natural oil that we should use, and we shouldn't use them anyway. So choose for cooking or for supplemental purposes those oils that I mentioned, coconut oil, olive oil. Don't heat olive oil because it will turn it into a rancid trans fat. Only use olive oil on raw dishes like salads or, in other things. Use it in raw food. Flaxseed oil, virage, blackcurrant oil or blackcurrant seed oil. Hemp seed oils are great. These are all healthy sources of these omega-3 rich fats that I love. So definitely get that into your diet, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm sorry to say this, but the next thing on my list is to limit caffeine. Yes, caffeine can absolutely disrupt hormone balance. Excessive caffeine raises your cortisol, and I know people have been hearing about cortisol, especially when it comes to weight loss and stress. Cortisol slows down your thyroid function, and thus your metabolism gets slowed down. So that, of course, can then translate to decrease of energy. It can translate to poor temperature balance. So people that have cold hands and feet all the time, if you know that you have a thyroid problem, you probably already know that you're cold and you have problems with keeping the body warm. Also, people with thyroid or with hypothyroid problems, which is low thyroid functioning, they also have problems with losing weight, but they have no problem with gaining weight. So it's easier for you to gain weight, and it's been even more difficult, to get it off. So this is not to say that you can never have caffeine again, but we're talking about healing the body, and this is an obstacle for your healing. Then I would say, do what you need to do so that you can start feeling better. But I would say limit and reduce your intake while you're trying to heal yourself. And also some things you can do to help to wean yourself off of as much coffee as you were drinking before, you can pair caffeine products, especially things like coffee, with a good fatty food so that you can slow the release of the stimulant chemicals in the coffee so that they won't wear off as quick. Because sometimes when you've been drinking coffee or eating or consuming any kind of so long, your body builds this tolerance because now it's just clearing it quicker and quicker and quicker. So you have to drink more and more and more. But when you eat fatty food along with your coffee, say, for example, it helps with slowing down the time that it is released, that the caffeine is released from your body. So then you actually have it in you a little bit longer. That means that you have to drink less. So you don't have to drink as much because you drink more. Then now this excess caffeine is in your body for longer, and now you're bouncing off the walls, jittered with caffeine jitters. So try that. Another thing you can do is you can also wean yourself off of coffee by cutting the amount that you drink in half and mixing it with a herbal coffee alternative. So for example, you can mix. So let's say you have a cup of coffee a morning. Every morning you have a cup of coffee. So instead of that, have half a cup of coffee and add another half a cup of an herbal coffee replacement. So this way you're drinking only half of the amount that you were drinking. As far as coffee replacements, I sell roasted dandelion on my website, and I always recommend roasted dandelion tea as a great coffee replacement because it has that same kind of roasted flavor. It just has a nice flavor to it, and I think if you mix it with coffee, it will taste great. Another thing is that the roasted dandelion helps with is because not only is it a great herbal, good-tasting herbal tea to add to your coffee, but dandelion also has an affinity for the liver, and it helps with liver function. It helps the liver in the function of detoxifying, which is crucial in hormone balancing. For those of you who didn't know, your liver plays a huge part in your hormone production and the excretion of old hormones that no longer serve any purpose in the body that need to be removed. And if they aren't removed, they can build up in the body and create havoc. So dandelion tea or roasted dandelion tea in your coffee can really help with you kicking a caffeine habit or weaning yourself off of as much coffee as you're drinking to help with hormone balance. So definitely, if you're looking for that, go to my website, which is askdradiro.weebly.com, and go to the product page or the product tab, and then you can look at all the herbs that I have. And roasted dandelion root tea is one of those things that I have on there. The next thing, since I'm talking about herbs, I want to talk about maca really quick. Maca root is a great addition to the diet to help with hormone balance. It has a long history in traditional herbal medicine for boosting hormone production and libido. Men and women notice that when they add maca to the diet over time, it just helps with all these different symptoms that were caused by hormone imbalance. So like PMS, decreased fertility or infertility, skin issues like acne, for example, low sperm count in men, impotence in men, all these things have been helped by people adding maca into the diet. Maca is also just, you know, as an added benefit, it's high in minerals, it's high in essential fatty acids. So it just makes it for a great hormone balancing herb to add in there. And it tastes good as well. I mean, it tastes like caramel or butterscotch. So I add it to foods that I want to be sweet, like desserts. You can add it to smoothies. You can put it in capsules or you can get it in a capsule form. And it's just really, really great. So I would rather people put it in their food because you can put more of it in your food. You can take it as a supplement in the capsules, and that's fine. But I just like it being mixed in with other things because herbs always work better when they are in a holistic environment, when they're together with other oils and amino acids and proteins and, you know. So, you know, but get it in how you can fit it in. So if you can do better with it just being a supplement and you taking a capsule a day, perfect. But I have to ask people to try it in food because it tastes so good. So definitely get up on the maca root. Thing that we should be conscious of is eating more phytonutrients. And I'm talking about raw green plants, about 5 to 6 servings a day, because phytonutrients are very sensitive to heat, so it's important that we get raw or living servings of plants into our diet. And this may sound like a lot, you know, 5 to 6 servings of vegetables and fruit a day, especially vegetables, may sound like a lot. It may sound like that. But it's not hard if you are creative with the way that you incorporate these things into your diet. So for the vegetables, you can get 5, 6 leaves of kale into a smoothie, you know, at the beginning of the day. So that'll be your breakfast. And then you can eat a large salad or two at later meals. So just make sure you're eating a salad with lunch and dinner, you know, and getting you a green smoothie in the morning. Then you got, you know, your servings for the day, you know. Phytonutrients like antioxidants, flavonoids, beta-carotenoids, which are found in our red and orange vegetables and fruits, and other vitamins and minerals in plants are basically all that the body needs to support all of its biological functions. phytonutrients, they just do so much. They're so good for us. They deter inflammation. They support proper immune function. They support detoxification. And all of this, in turn, what it does is it frees up the endocrine system to do its work of communication through hormones. So get up on the live or the raw plants. You have to get raw plants into your diet so that you can get the utmost nutrition from them. Let's see. Oh, okay. So I have to talk about fiber. After I talk about the plants, I can't talk about the plants without talking about the fiber that's in all of these plants. Get more fiber into your diet. That's very, very important when we're talking about hormone balance, especially with consuming more raw fruits and vegetables. You're going to get more fiber. But just be conscious that, you know, you are getting a certain amount of fiber. 23 to 25 grams is what is a really good, adequate amount to start helping with digestion and other functions in the body that require fiber, digestive health, bowel movements, elimination, detoxification, all those things require fiber. Another thing is that speaking of detoxification, fiber binds itself to things when we eat it. So this is the soluble fiber that, you know, we're eating. Fiber binds to toxins, but it will also bind to old hormones that have been eliminated from the body. Like I said, the liver, it metabolizes hormones that have been used, and then it sends them, you know, into our digestive system to be eliminated. Now, these old estrogens and progesterones and things, they bind to the fibers that we eat, and when they're bound to those fibers, it is allowed to be cleared out of the system when we have our daily bowel movements. Now, when we don't have adequate amount of fiber in the diet, this process is hindered. That means that you are not eliminating old estrogens and old, you know, progesterone and inflammatory hormones and things that the body is trying to eliminate. So what happens is when we don't have enough fiber, those old hormones can actually recirculate into the system. And what does that cause? A condition of excess. So now you have excess estrogen. Now you have excess, you know, inflammatory hormones in the body, and all of that can lead to, you know, cramps, it can lead to PMS, it can lead to impotence, it can lead to infertility, PCOS, aggravation, all of that. Endometriosis is a really good example of there being excessive amounts of estrogen and other hormones that are inflammatory in the system. And having a good amount of fiber in the diet can really help, along with doing these other things that we mentioned, but fiber is just another piece of the puzzle when it comes to having a complete diet that will assist you in having a normal hormone balance. So definitely get more fiber in the diet. You can get that, of course, through eating the raw fruits and vegetables. If need be, you can get any kind of plant-based, preferably a plant-based fiber supplement that also has herbs and things in it would be great. They have different ones. I actually like hemp seed powder for a fiber supplement. I used to take hemp seed powder all the time. Now I just eat a lot of hemp seeds. But, you know, I'm raw vegan too, so I get a lot of fiber. I don't have to take the supplements like I used to when I was eating cooked food. But let's say you're still consuming cooked food, or you have a condition to where you really need to make sure you're cleansing the body of excess estrogens and other hormones, inflammation and things of that nature. Hemp seed powder is actually a very, very good supplement. It has a lot of amino acids and it has a lot of fiber. You can get anywhere from 11 to some of them have 14 grams of fiber per serving. And if you eat about 2 servings of that a day, that'll be your daily required amount of fiber that you need. And that's not the daily required amount that the American Medical Association or the FDA says you need to have. That's how much that has been shown in studies where people have good digestion having their diet. And they're looking at indigenous societies. So you want to have at least 25 to 30 grams of 20. I said 23 to 25, but I would say 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day. And of course, I don't like people having to count, you know, things like like the same way that I don't like counting calories. You shouldn't have to count grams of fiber. But just know that if you are eating a lot of vegetables daily, at least, you know, at least 6 servings of raw fruits and vegetables daily. And then, of course, if you are eating your nuts and seeds, you're eating, and then if you're also on top of that taking a fiber supplement like a hemp protein powder, then that would be even better. So then you know that you're getting all the fiber that you need. So don't worry about it so much. And then if you're eating smoothies, oh man, smoothies are a great way to get fiber in. Whether you're adding in lots of raw fruits and vegetables, or if you're just adding a scoop of your protein powder or your hemp powder or your other plant-based fiber powder to that, it's a great way. You can also put these fiber powders in baked goods, raw foods, dehydrated items, and things of that nature. And all of that just helps you to incorporate it better so that you're not just chugging down a, you know, a drink of fiber powder, and it's gross. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So that's all that I have as far as the food. So now I want to talk about just a few herbs that are really good and have been known for helping with hormone balancing. And those herbs are Damiana. Damiana leaf is very good, especially for female hormone balancing, but both men and women can use Damiana. And you can make a tea with that. You can drink that tea daily. Dandelion root tea, roasted or unroasted dandelion. Again, it helps with the liver, detoxifying, and all of that helps with supporting hormone balance. Milk thistle is another liver herb that I like. Milk thistle has a gentle action on cleansing, on the liver cleansing itself, and it helps the liver in neutralizing toxins. And it really just is also protective to the liver. So anything that could potentially harm the liver, damage the liver, milk thistle protects it from that. So this is another great liver herb to add to the diet that will help with hormone balancing. Ashwagandha is one of my favorite herbs for hormone balancing because it is in what we call an adaptogen. Adaptogenic herbs are those herbs that work as a tonic it doesn't stop or encourage anything. It just goes into the body, and whatever you need, if you need something, if you have something that is too high, it'll bring it down. If you have something that is too little, it'll help to bring it up. So it just has this affinity for the endocrine system in being regulated. So whatever you have going on, whether if you can't put your finger on it, ashwagandha is a great herb that will help to balance it out. But you have to take it over time. That's the thing with adaptogenic herbs. You have to take your herbs consistently in order to get the results. But ashwagandha is one of those herbs that can really help if you are consistent with taking it as far as hormone balancing goes. Ginseng is another adaptogenic herb that is very useful for hormone balancing. Similar to ashwagandha, it's going to be a tonic. It's going to have a tonic-like effect on the body if you take it over time. It will help the endocrine system to balance out, so it's producing hormones, so the proper hormones in adequate amounts. It also helps with energy. It helps with memory. It helps with vitality, libido, all of that. So ginseng can definitely be added to the diet for that. Saw palmetto. Saw palmetto is another great hormone-balancing herb. It is the berry that you'll be using. So saw palmetto has an affinity to the androgen hormones. So those hormones that we call the male hormones, but they're not necessarily male hormones. They're just hormones that are more prevalent in male. So testosterone, for example, which is in both men and women, but it is expressed more so in men. Now, when there is an abnormal expression of testosterone in the male system, he can have hormone imbalances, so aggression. If there's an excess amount of, or if there's a decreased amount of testosterone and too much estrogen, it can also create prostate issues. Excess testosterone can also create prostate issues. And in women, when there's too much androgen production, it can create excessive hair growth on the face, in male pattern areas such as like the stomach, on the legs, and it So all of these things can, and also acne, things like breaking out, especially during the menstrual cycle, all of that is in excess androgen hormone production. Saw palmetto works to balance and regulate the production of those hormones. Saw palmetto is, in the case of men, it can help with prostate issues like benign prostatic hypertrophy. Also, any kind of inflammation of the prostate, saw palmetto can actually really help with that. And I've seen patients do really well with just doing the saw palmetto by itself. But, of course, you know, your diet is going to affect those things as well. But if you do that in conjunction with taking the herb, you know, you're going to be giving the body exactly what it needs. The last thing I want to talk about is the chastity berry. That you can also take to help, especially women with relieving menstrual problems, because it helps to regulate those hormones, dealing with that. Women who are having problems with PMS, infertility, all of that can be helped by taking chastity berry in the form of a tea or a supplement. Other hormonal problems that chastity can help include any kind of tenderness in the breast, or tenderness and back pain and irritability, mood changes, all those things that deal with PMS or those symptoms that occur during the menstrual cycle, chastity can also help with that, especially if they are if they are accompanied by, like, kind of a depressive type of mood. Chastity can really help with that. So that's pretty much it, you guys. And what, I can't believe it, I finished on time, y'all. I didn't go over. So, again, I mean, if anybody has any questions and they want to call in real quick, that number is 646-716-7572. That was pretty much all I have for you today. So, so don't just listen to me, you guys. Go out there. Hopefully you had your pen and your pad and you were able to take notes. But don't worry if you weren't able to catch everything or you missed the show. You can always go back into the archives and listen in. So with that, don't just listen to me. Go out there. Change your diet. If your hormones are all messed up, you can balance it back by using your food. So, hey, I gave you the tools. All you got to do is take the action for sure.
Sis, I do have a question, inbox from a sister. She said that,
okay.
I guess she wants you to repeat the herb that you can make the tea with, and also if you can get, like, I guess when you, say for instance, if you have, can't, like, specifically say what's wrong with you, is there a herb that you can, like, take or drink daily that can help you, like, put your body back into balance without, like, it aiming at a specific, I guess, like, sickness or illness?
Right. Yeah, all basically the diet change is going to be doing that. And then the herbs that I mentioned, can all be used to help with hormone imbalances in general. But a tea that I would definitely recommend for somebody that's just looking for, like, an overall general, something to just, that they can take every day, drink every day, would be the dandelion, either dandelion root, the roasted dandelion root, or the unroasted. Those, because it helps the liver in processing the hormones, that can be taken every day, and it can really be like a kind of at the base of you getting your hormones in balance. Anything else like the damiana, the ashwagandha, ginseng, safflower, those are more for, like, specific. You know, if you have something going on, like too much androgen, you know, you need estrogen balance or whatever. But the dandelion is just going to help the liver to make everything cool. So that would be one thing that I would say they can drink every day. Mm-hmm.
What was it? The chastity berry?
Chast tree. So it's spelled C H A. Huh?
You said chast tree berry.
Yeah, chast tree. Some herb stores call it chast berry, but it's chast. Tree. It's C-H-A-S as in safflower. E. Tree. Berry. Chast tree.
Okay, got it.
And I'll list those herbs really quick one more time. So the herbs that I talked about were maca, damiana, dandelion root, milk thistle, ashwagandha, which is spelled A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-A, ginseng, palmetto, and chas tree berry. And I actually carry dandelion, I carry saw palmetto, and I carry damiana on my website. So, and I can get the other herbs for anybody too. So if anybody is interested in any of the herbs at all, even if they are not on my page at this moment, I can get them. That just means, because I upload different herbs all the time when I get distributed. So if you don't see the herb that you want, then I can get it for them.
And also, sis, can you give them your site again as well as your email address
yes.
for those who contact you outside of the show?
Absolutely. So my website where you can see the herbs and the different products is Ask Dr. Aduro, A, S as in safflower, K, D as in diamond, R, A, D as in diamond, I-R-O, AskDrAduro.Weebly, W-E-E, B as in boy, L-Y.com. So go to AskDrAduro.Weebly.com, and you can go to that my product site. And then if you want to email me anything or any questions, comments, or concerns that you have, even if you want to get put on a diet plan for hormone balance, I do that. I put people on cleanse programs for hormone balance or anything. You can also email me at askdraduro@gmail.com for any of that, any questions or concerns you have about that. So, yep, so I'm here. I'm here at your service, you know, for my community. So absolutely use me. For whatever things you need. Yes.
And don't like our like page, Food for Medicine, on Facebook. And also, my sis has a practice page. Can you give them
yes.
the name of your practice so they can check that out as well?
Yes. So the name of my practice is Nkingu. That's N as in nighttime, apostrophe, K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U, health. Nkingu Health. And if you type it into the Facebook, it should come up. And please like my page. Yes.
Yes. And also, please check out our website, too, dynastynetwork.net, and you can check out all of our past shows.
Yes.
It's been a great show, once again, my sister, and like I said, every time I walk away from the show, I feel so empowered, and I do appreciate the information that you bring. I'm pretty sure our listeners do as well. Check out tomorrow on Dynasty Network with Empress T, Life After Christianity, and we will see you next week.
All right,
Dynasty Radio 1382.